Open public input. We have some people with us who would like to tell us things. This is great. Okay, I always review the commission rules so you understand. We would like you to come to the front table, speak not too close to the mic, but we give the members of the public 3 minutes to testify. When you hear the beeping noise, that means your time is up. We'd like you to conclude your remark. If you're in mid-sentence, go ahead and finish your thought. Jonathan Stumpf, you're the first.
All right, good morning.
Morning.
How's everyone doing today?
Good, good.
Nice to see some of you again. My name is Jonathan Stumpf, and I am the board chair of the Wild Steelhead Coalition. I'm here today to once again bring to your attention that our state fish, a wild steelhead, is in peril. I don't need to state all the facts, as I know that you're well aware of what's happening to steelhead runs across the state. Five of the seven distinct population segments of the steelhead in the state are listed under the Endangered Species Act, with little being done, to my knowledge, on either a state or federal level to recover them. Right now on the coast, specifically the Olympic Peninsula, it's the last stronghold for wild winter steelhead, and year after year, the runs are depleting and look to be on a similar trajectory as those we saw crash in Puget Sound not too long ago. The escapement for the Ho River in 2013-14 was 1,786 fish, well below the escapement goal of 2,400. This is the seventh year in the past 10 that the Ho River has not met its escapement goal. And as we watch this legendary run of fish crash, angling pressure is on the rise, the enforcement officer post for the coast is vacant, and steelhead harvest management plans with the co-managers are not being signed before the fishing season. Well, I commend you all for the work that is being done with the establishment of the WSMZs in the lower Columbia and recommendations for the sport fishing rule proposals in the Columbia Stream Strategy, which we'll be discussing more about that later today. These policy changes are quite simply not enough to recover and conserve wild steelhead. The statewide steelhead management plan, which was adopted on February 29, 2008, is truly an ambitious and forward-thinking document of policies, strategies, and actions. But really, that is about it. From a public perspective, little has been done to implement this document. And if I'm wrong, then there must be a disconnect between what the WDFW has accomplished and what the public is aware of. To me, that does sound like a good opportunity to release the department's five-year review of this document. Coming up next, you'll be hearing from Shane Anderson, who is a filmmaker and wild steelhead advocate. Earlier this fall, the Wild Steelhead Coalition, with support from Patagonia, had the opportunity to take his movie, Wild Reverence, The Plight of Wild Steelhead, on a seven-city tour across the Pacific Northwest. In my hand and in your mailbox are hundreds of names of individuals that love to fish for wild steelhead, with addresses from Montana, California, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington. These are concerned sportsmen that love to fish for wild steelhead and are representative of a potential lost economy in our state and communities unless you do something to reverse the downward trend of wild steelhead. So on behalf of these sportsmen and the Wild Steelhead Coalition, we ask that you make recovery and conservation of the Olympic Peninsula wild steelhead an immediate priority.
Thank you. Shane, hang on. Commissioner Smith?
Yeah. Is the video that you mentioned, is that to be how would somebody see it?
We have copy.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And wanted to
introduce
to you.
Okay.
Some of the signatures.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
Hello.
Want to put in the record, Shane Anderson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name's Shane Anderson. I'm a local filmmaker. I spent the last 3 years making a movie. I spent $100,000 out of my own pocket to do so, to raise awareness on what is possibly the most important thing in my life, which are wild steelhead. This is the fourth meeting I've been to in the past 2 years, but today I'm speaking on behalf of, as of A few minutes ago, 2,080 other people through a change.org petition that support wild steelhead management and recovery on the Olympic Peninsula. We're concerned there's a collapse happening, missing escapement, and we as people from all over the world, Germany, Austria, Australia, New York, Ohio, Florida, Montana, California, and Oregon, and a lot of other countries and states are here to support wild steelhead recovery. We bring a lot of money to the table. 2 years ago, it took me 50 days to catch a steelhead on the Olympic Peninsula, and I spent over $6,000 to do that. So there's people willing to spend money, and we just do not want to see this resource go any further down. A couple of my change.org suggestions would be to make mandatory catch and release of all wild steelhead in the sport fisheries that would preserve more fishing opportunity. More widespread use of selective gear rules for both commercial and sport. Increased monitoring and enforcement. I heard there was no more enforcement up on the Olympic Peninsula as of a few weeks ago, and that really scares me because I see the amount of poaching every time I'm up there. More in-season management on a river-by-river basis that would allow fisheries to be proactively shut down or an effort to reduce in-season creel data based on the escapement levels. We've seen the escapements continue to decline, and both sport and commercial fisheries continue when the runs aren't large enough. The wild steelhead gene banks up there, we'd like to see them established on multiple watersheds, preferably in the largest and healthiest watersheds with the highest probability of supporting self-sustaining, abundant, productive steelhead populations. So we would like to see these on a science basis where there is productivity, not in just a bunch of little creeks that historically may have only had 300 fish in them. And we'd like to see public work groups with diverse stakeholders to identify these wild steelhead management zones. So in conclusion, I really thank you for listening to me, and I am on the forefront of taking this film and this movement across the country in the coming months to gain more support. So you have a lot of support on your side to make these decisions. Thank you.
Okay, before you leave, my understanding is the wild steelhead management zone we created is on the Solduck, which is a major river.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's absolutely.
So I just didn't want the impression to be left that we've only been declaring wild steelhead management zones in small tribs that are insignificant.
No,
Solduck's very significant river.
Very significant, and the best one up there, the most productive one up there. I had heard that there were some other ones in the works on some very small creeks up there, and we just would like to see them where the productivity can sustain. And the Solduck's great, and very much applaud you for that. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Jason Small.
Morning, everybody. I haven't done this before. I'm kind of nervous. My name is Jason Small. I live here in Olympia. I am the River Steward Coordinator for the Native Fish Society in the Puget Sound area, and I'm here representing them, but I'm also here as Jessica's husband and Matthew and Andrew's father. You guys know the numbers. These guys are more eloquent about communicating that kind of thing than I am. I'm here to urge you guys to action. I've been traveling around and going to meetings and meeting with different people from different walks of life and different stakeholder groups. We have a global treasure. This is the best place in the world to live. I go out and I hunt and I fish and I turn to my buddies and I say, I can't believe I get to live here. And you guys are in a position to make this a worldwide beacon of conservation and valuing the wild in a world where that is not valued as much as it should be. As far as opportunity goes, I know that you guys are definitely in the opportunity business. That's an important part, and I understand that. I fear that what we're going towards is not opportunity. The analogy that I use is cupcakes. There's not enough cupcakes for the whole class. It's all the debates and issues, and it all comes down to cupcakes. There's just not enough, and so we have to figure out a way to equitably distribute the opportunity to do that. I'm also a hunter. I can't grab a rifle any month of the year and go bop out into the Margaret unit and shoot whatever bull I want. You know, I mean, certain places and certain times and certain techniques are
used to help allocate a limited resource towards a growing population of people that want to interact with it. I'm not a huge proponent of fly fish only because I mostly fly fish. I also gear fish. I don't think that we should be taking away opportunity like that because there's a lot more people that gear fish and they have the right to be there. I respect that, and I reach across the aisle with those guys. I've spent a lot of time shaking some bait stand hands, and they're good people, and they deserve to be out as much as anybody. Cupcakes. We have to figure out a way to manage this resource so that the opportunity, and again, with hunting, it's a no-brainer. It's so easy. We've done it for years. Every state in the country has done it the same kind of way. Harder method, longer season. Easier method, shorter season. Certain places are set aside as, well, this is an opportunity for every now and then you might draw a tag for that. I'm just begging you guys to make some very tough decisions. The right path is often the most difficult, but it's the most worthwhile to take, and it's the most rewarding, and I really appreciate your guys' time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Commissioner Smith has
I just wanted to congratulate you, compliment you for a first time. I thought your remarks were spot on and very eloquently
scratched them down just now.
Well done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Elizabeth Roderick? Could you give your handouts to Tammy?
Good morning, commissioners and staff. My name is Elizabeth Roderick, and I'm vice president of Black Hills Audubon Society. We know you're considering candidates for a new director, so I just wanted to read a statement about what we, our organization, expects in a new director. And it's kind of small here, so bear with me. Washington needs a director who will provide progressive leadership to address the serious impacts from population growth, habitat loss, and climate change. The director must be prepared to protect Washington's full range of biological diversity from this onslaught. Past focus on managing commercial and game species for harvest is no longer enough. We must manage for healthy ecosystems in uncertain future conditions. The new director must make climate change-related issues a priority. These changes require coordinated, interdisciplinary problem-solving for species survival, including our own. Many of those species are birds, the proverbial canary in the coal mine. The National Audubon Society's recent report titled Birds and Climate Change forewarns that if climate change continues on its current trajectory, in Washington State alone, more than 100 species of birds may lose 50% or more of their range by 2050. In addition, shrinking or shifting ranges could imperil nearly half of all U.S. birds within this century. Many species of birds can move to a new area, but the food supply on which they depend may not be able to move. In the larger picture, the likely extinction of many birds and the discrete decrease in a huge number of other birds is but one of the damaging effects of climate change. To rein in the effects of what is perhaps the greatest global challenge and threat to our existence, we need to adapt existing programs and remedy our impacts. The Black Hills Audubon Society wants a new DFW director who has the qualifications and the motivation to implement the 2011 Washington Integrated Climate Change Response Strategy. Through collaborative conservation efforts with all levels of government, the tribes, and the private sector. Thank you.
Thank you. Donna Snow. Welcome.
My name is Donna Snow, and I would like to read in part a letter I've prepared, and I do have copies for each of you that I'll hand in. I wish to submit comment on the selection of the new director, and at this time we have an opportunity to select a director who will lead the state toward a sustainable future for all creatures, great and small. The historical focus has been on hunters, fishers, and ranchers who want wildlife managed to serve their own interests and is no longer viable in today's environment. We must focus on the important role of biodiversity in sustaining all species, including humans. We must look beyond corralling wildlife into isolated parks and supporting an ecosystem with wildlife habitat and corridors to support healthy populations that will survive beyond our lifetime. As an example, look at the recovery of ungulates and habitat in Yellowstone National Park when wolves were reintroduced. The diversity of vegetation and wildlife recovered to bring nature back into balance. Having leadership with the agency with a vision that will embrace all creatures will not only benefit a healthy ecosystem for wildlife, but for future generations of humans. Revenue from ecotourism will greatly surpass hunting fees to bring visitors to Washington State to view our wildlife without traveling to Yellowstone National Park to view wolves, bears, and other wildlife that are part of our heritage. I'm also attaching a copy of an article from the Olympian, which articulates very well the need to select a visionary leader for Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Nice job, everyone. That concludes the item number 3, open public input. And we